Senator Saviello and members of the committee, my name is Jim Mitchell. I live in Winthrop, Maine, and I'm here today on behalf of Aroostook Timberlands, a landowner in northern Maine that's part of the Irving Group of Companies. Aroostook Timberlands owns approximately 672,000 acres in northern Maine. It starts basically west of Allagash, goes across the limestone, and then down to Oxbow Plantation. The acreage includes Bald Mountain, which is a subject that we're going to spend a fair amount of time on over the next several days and meetings. And Bald Mountain, of course, has a very significant deposit of non-ferrous metallic minerals. On behalf of Aroostook Timberlands, I just wanted to thank the committee and the chairs for holding this informational briefing and for inviting us to participate. We realize that time is short and the issue is complicated, so this additional session, I think, will prove to be extraordinarily important in the committee's deliberations around this issue. As proponents of the legislation, in some ways principal proponents of the legislation Representative Martin has filed, our purpose today is to describe the economic opportunity that we see the state having through metallic mineral mining, and use Bald Mountain as a specific example to demonstrate some of our broader assertions about the economic opportunity for the state. We also, I think, which is central to the committee's work, to outline some aspects of current law and rule and how it's applied and how changing that will help increase the likelihood that the economic opportunity we see can actually be taken advantage of. Opportunity abounds throughout Maine, but there are often reasons that the opportunity can't be tapped into. The current structure of our law and rules is one obstacle. It's not the only obstacle to development of a mine in a place like Bald Mountain, but it is a significant piece of the puzzle, which is the reason why the bill Representative Martin has filed is before this committee. We also thought that it was quite important that we provide some additional background information to the committee on Irving and its commitment to Maine. Now, laws that the legislature adopts applies to everybody equally, so in no way can one company's behavior be reason sufficient for the legislature to make a determination that it ought to make changes to laws. But as leading proponents of the legislation, we do think it's important that you understand the company's commitment to Maine. Irving has a long history here in the state, was a landowner back in the 40s, and continues to have a major economic impact in the state with more than 330 direct employees and hundreds of other people who are directly contracted with on behalf of the company. They have operations throughout the state, and I'll touch on that some more. To accomplish those objectives, we've assembled a team of people that will, I hope, be seen as a resource by the committee. Anthony Howren is a 20-year veteran of Irving. He's a forester, but is, and in fact, ran the Maine Woodlands operations for Irving for 5 years, lived here in Maine. Anthony has gone back to St. John, has a special assignment within the company to find new ways for the company to look at its lands and find other opportunities behind their tradition, beyond their traditional approach to forest products, in order for them to enhance economic opportunity. So that's Anthony's focus, and that's why he's become, in some respects, the inside person on Bald Mountain in the company, and has a lot to tell you about the approach they've taken and why that's relevant to your deliberations. Tom Doyle, of course, is a well-known environmental lawyer here in Maine with Pierce Atwood, and has done a great deal of work in drafting the legislation that the committee will begin to consider more seriously tomorrow. Tom, of course, came up with the original framework for the legislation, and he and his law partner, Matt Manahan, did much of the drafting, but also, of course, in consultation with the sponsor, made changes at the direction of the sponsor to better comport with his intentions. And while I certainly would not want to speak to Representative Martin, I hope that we've been responsive to his requests. We also have brought some folks from C.V. and Mahar, Pete Mahar and Matt Muzzy, who are environmental engineering consultants in Cumberland, Maine, and have a great deal of experience in various projects around the state, including, interestingly enough, some work near Bald Mountain. Pete Mahar, I think, was a college classmate of Senator Saviello.
That's correct, and he had a well-working TV that we used appropriately, if I remember correctly. Kind of fell out of the third floor of the window one day.
In addition to those folks, we've also brought in, because it's necessary, some folks from out of state, a lawyer from Salt Lake City, Jim Butler, who is a nationally recognized expert on mining law. Jim has testified before a Senate committee on mining several times. He is very knowledgeable about not only the federal law, but also what various states are doing. So I think, as Representative Welch has touched on, understanding what other states are doing is probably important, though not determinative, about your work. But it is relevant because, of course, attracting capital to do mining does require that we understand where else those opportunities exist and what the structure of the laws are in those places. So Jim can help put some meat to the bones of that discussion as well. Along with Jim, Bob Ingersoll from Tetra Tech has a long history, a 30-plus year history in environmental compliance and environmental engineering in mining, and Bob can provide some additional information about the changes that have occurred in mining and the approach, the importance of an environmental ethic in the development of mines. We talked about this to some degree. In fact, Representative Martin talked briefly about the trips that he took to look at the impacts of mines in other parts of the country when he was pushing forward legislation to better regulate mining opportunities here in Maine back in the late 80s and early 90s, and he talked about some of the environmental impacts that he witnessed firsthand. And over lunch, one of the points that Bob made as I was asking him about his background was one of the fundamental changes that have occurred in the last two decades in mining is a real focus on reclamation and closure as part of the design and operation of the facility, because that's so central to protecting the environment in the long term that it really has to be engineered in early on in the process. And that's, I think Bob can touch on that some more as you ask him some questions. The reality is there's not much time left in the session. And committee members and potentially other stakeholders are rightly concerned about the shortness of time to look at what is not an uncomplicated area. In fact, quite complicated. And we appreciate that. We think it's important to keep in mind. But I also can say one thing. In 20 years of working as an advocate for various interests here at the Maine Legislature, one thing has always been plain to me. Committees are busy. And doing their work has not necessarily been a function of calendar days, but a function of what's before them. Typically, committees hear and do work sessions on multiple bills over very short periods of time. So the share of time you can devote to an issue is often limited by how many bills are before you. In this instance, if I'm correct, Mr. Chairman, the committee has very little work left to dispose of three other items beyond this legislation. So while we appreciate the shortness of time, we also think there are lots of hours and elements of mental energy that can be applied to this problem, and we hope come up with an appropriate resolution. We also think that we play a significant part in that, respectfully and carefully and appropriately, but we've assembled the people here today so that as questions arise, they are a resource to provide prompt, accurate, measured information for the committee's consideration, that we pledge we will do our best to provide you all the factual information that you are looking for so that you can weigh the competing interests before you and make the right decision for all of Maine. I thought it would be helpful to also understand a little bit better from the committee's perspective the company and its interests here at Bald Mountain. As I mentioned briefly, Irving has a long history here in Maine, and Jim Irving, I think, said it best at a meeting the other day. The company needs to do this right, because they're planting trees today that they won't harvest for 40 years. This is a company that has a very long-term view as a privately held, family-owned company. It's not a 20-year time span. It's not a 40-year time span. They are making plans for 50, 60, 80 years from now. So doing a mining project right is very important to Jim Irving and his family directly. Part of the background I thought would be useful for the committee to look at, perhaps I won't go through the whole thing now, but there are a couple of documents that talk a little bit about Irving's presence here in the state, and I thought I'd just touch on a couple of the most important items there. On the first page, the economic impact of the company, on the left side, underneath the map of Maine, you see the various operations, Irving Woodlands, JDI Dixfield. At the Woodlands operation, there are about 100 people in northern Maine. At the Dixfield sawmill, which, by the way, is the largest sawmill in North America, sawing white pine, and one of the largest in the world, has 200 employees right here in the great state of Maine. And then another 45 employees among Cavendish, Agri, Farms, and, of course, Eastern Maine Railroad. As well, the company provides service to the state-owned rail, operates that rail on behalf of the state. As I said earlier, on the land stewardship, 60 years of operations in Maine, approximately 1.25 million acres that the company owns, basically 5% of the forested land, yet the company does 70% of the tree planting in the state and has a very long-term commitment to planting seedlings. There are some other pieces of information that I think will be helpful about the company's approach to the environment as you look at the various documents we've provided. But I think it's important to keep in mind that the company has a major commitment to environmental sustainability in the state, and their approach to any future development at Bald Mountain will obviously keep that first and foremost in their minds. As part of our presentation, I thought it would be useful for Anthony Howren to come up and talk a little bit about the process he undertook on behalf of Irving to look at Bald Mountain and what it would take for the company to take a more serious look at potentially developing that site there. And there is the opportunity for, as Representative Martin pointed out, extraordinarily significant economic opportunity there with significant employment. I want to make plain, though, and this is very important so that nobody is misled. Changing the law, adopting what we think is a more streamlined, appropriate structure to the permitting process, does not and will not guarantee that Bald Mountain will get turned into an operating mine. It is one piece of the puzzle, albeit a significant piece, but there is no guarantee that a change to the law will necessarily mean that the facility will be developed. There are a whole host of other factors that would go into that decision making, but it is our belief, based upon consultation, very serious dialogue with mining experts and operators around North America, that without the change in law, the likelihood of a facility going forward there is not very high. And so the change in law, if the committee deems it appropriate, is, we think, a necessary first step. With that, Mr. Chairman, I'd be pleased to try to answer any questions and also call on some of the other folks here in the room that might be more technically savvy than I.
Representative Welch and then Senator Goodall.
Thank you, Senator, and thank you, Mr. Mitchell, and for the information you've mailed to us as well. This seems like a really big issue coming in a very short time period. Why could we not begin to study this and learn more about it, but really look to next session to finalize what the policy should be moving forward?
Well, Representative, and that may be the will of the committee, but we are hopeful that we can move forward, that the committee can move forward on legislation this session. We encourage it. We are hopeful. But again, it may be deemed, as you look at the various moving parts here, that it simply isn't, there isn't sufficient time and adequate information for you to make a decision on what is a fairly complicated area of the law. We respect that. We are hopeful that the committee will be able to complete its deliberations and render a decision this session, however.
Senator Goodall.
Mr. Mitchell, what is the impact to the potential plans of Irving if we choose to wait until next session to finalize legislative action on this matter?
Well, I think Anthony would better be able to respond to that question more completely, but the reality is I think they will continue to look at the opportunity, explore what else they need to do in order to move forward. One of the central advantages, candidly, of Bald Mountain is there's been an enormous investment in exploratory activity. While some of it is dated, they have a great deal of information that allows them to make a considered judgment about the likely economic value of the deposits that are there. And so they can do some more evaluation, examination of business arrangements, opportunities, operating approaches. But the reality is I think that it would be a delay. It's not fatal. You know, they've owned the land for a long time. It's not like they haven't thought about this at least a little bit, but now's the time when they've invested a very significant amount of resources in experts, in evaluation and analysis. They'd like to continue that momentum in order to try to move forward to increase economic opportunity a little bit quicker. It's going to take some time. There is simply no doubt about that. But the more we delay, the more that there is no economic opportunity that is potentially going to be taken advantage of. And so, you know, there is reason for moving relatively quickly if you can.
Following on some of your earlier comments then, does this have anything to do with the potential market price of these minerals that will be extracted, meaning that is the market vulnerable to potentially impact the project in the short term?
Well, predicting the prices of commodities would be foolish on my part, but obviously high metal prices today are an impetus for development. And over the long term, we have some charts actually that Anthony can go through to you. Over the long term, if you look at the prices of the metals that would likely be extracted in an operation at Bald Mountain, they would include gold, silver, copper, and zinc as the principal metals. The prices on those various commodities, some of them have been at near historic highs in recent months and over the past year or two. I bet Senator Sherman has his finger right on that as someone who pays careful attention to that sort of thing. And so that is important. Are we predicting that there's going to be a cliff, that these prices drop off sometime in the future? No. But there is some certain volatility, and so taking advantage of the high market prices probably does make some sense.
And just my last question. Granted, I agree with you about the work ethic of this committee and the legislature in the whole. How do you address the issue about having proper time for the public to participate in this process? Because often we have 2 weeks' notice, we have a series of press articles, people are able to schedule to appear in front of us. What's your position on that point?
Well, we think that, at least in our discussions with Senator Saviello, his intention is not only to conduct tomorrow's public hearing, but to make opportunity available for the public in future work sessions to provide testimony so that the deliberations of the committee can benefit from the views of the public. No system, of course, is perfect. But candidly, I have been around here for a while, and in days past, actually, there have been some pieces of legislation that dispense with the public hearing and went through the legislature simply by virtue of debate on the floor. Highly unusual, but it has happened. Do I think that could happen here in a politically volatile environment on such a complicated issue? Absolutely not. But nevertheless, the notion somehow that there's something sacred about 2 weeks, I don't think is the case. In an era when you can get to Augusta from any point in the state, in several hours, and communication is instant on the web and email, I think that there is going to be opportunity for the public to find out about this and hopefully express their views. But again, I'm an advocate. I don't have to weigh the interest of the public and their need to know. That's really your job.
So the committee knows, originally I was going to plan this for next week, but in the sense of wanting to get this information out as fast as I could and begin the process as fast as I could, I moved it to this week. And when we go into work sessions, they will be a very open work session because some people may not be able to get here. So I'm going to try to gather that data so we make a good decision. But and I mean this very seriously. I would rather have this committee work this bill than any other committee that I've ever been on, because I think we're deliberate about what we do and we really pay attention. So.